Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Let's kick some ass.
All right, let's do just that. All right, as I said, we've got a big game. Two of the hottest teams in baseball right now, Rob. I mean, they ended the season the way you want to. The Brewers shocking everybody. I thought they were about to fall off without Christian Yelich.
Well, once he got hurt,
they took off.
They won 18 out of 20, and then, of course, they got swept the last three games of the year. But still, Chris, if you would have told me that they would have gone 18-5 after Yelich went down, nobody would have believed it.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So they're a great story. And then, of course, the Nationals, who make the playoffs after their superstar, Bryce Harper, leaves them for $300
million. And $330. And the other thing, too, Chris, is they got off to a terrible start. I don't know if you remember.
Yep.
They were awful. People were like, Dave Martinez should be fired as the manager. They stuck with those guys, and they righted it. They righted the ship, and they finished off. Yeah, big time.
Now they won, what, 8 straight?
They are in position, and then they have their ace in Max Scherzer on the mound. You know, he's had some struggles in the postseason. We've seen big-time pitchers, right?
Kershaw
right? Yep. Guys like that. Who struggle in the postseason, but I don't. There's something about the Nationals, Chris. I like what they're doing.
You sure that's not some old chicken wings you ate for lunch today?
No.
that's not what you feel?
No, I mean I know what that is. I mean I took care of that before the show started. You know?
Oh God. All right, look. Here's what I want to ask you. You're the guru of Major League Baseball. You got the inside the Parker podcast,
which drops tomorrow. Yes,
you got the Hall of Fame vote.
Yes,
and all that.
I'm loaded, man. Go ahead, keep going. I covered the Cincinnati Reds.
Whip around.
Yes,
you see how I'm propping you?
I know. Go ahead.
When's the last time you gave me those kind of props?
I give you props every show.
I'm serving you up, man. I am serving it on a platter to you.
A poo poo platter. Go ahead.
All right. So here's what I want to throw out to you. I have my own answer. But I mentioned the Brewers obviously rallying without their best player, Christian Yelich. The Nationals having a great season, you know, rallying from a slow start to get to the playoffs without Bryce Harper, who left them at the altar, so to speak, as a free agent. You got the Dodgers, of course, who have won 7 straight now.
Yep, 7
NL
straight
West NL West championships. Yep. Been to the last 2 World Series, but haven't won a crown since 1988.
It's been a long time.
You got the Yankees, who are the Yankees. That's one part of it. Let's just face it, right? But all the injuries they had this year.
And they still won over 100 games.
Yeah, 103 games?
103.
Great season. Over 300 homers. Only the Twins hit more. And then you got the Astros, who are going for their second World Series crown in 3 years. Justin Verlander, a resurrection, right?
Yep.
In Houston.
Unbelievable.
I mean, kind of like Roger Clemens.
Garrett
with that
Cole.
Resurrection. I'm not implying anything untoward.
No, I know
but, you
what
know,
you mean. Right,
that
right.
type of second wind in his career. And I think, Rob, I know you got the Braves and, you know, the Rays and you got some other, obviously, other teams in the playoffs. But I think those 5 would be the best stories in the playoffs. So I want to ask you, and maybe you, if you think it's somebody else, go ahead. But I want to ask you for baseball, for Major League Baseball, for the fan base. Let's face it, everybody talks about it being a regional game now. You know, what would be the best storyline, the best team to win the championship, the World Series, to kind of push baseball back into the national spotlight and let baseball take over, you know, for the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever it is. You know, what would be the best story as far as which team won the World Series, in your opinion?
I think there's a combination. It would be obvious. The Yankees and the Dodgers, the two biggest cities, storied franchises, right? Come on, Babe Ruth, yep. Jackie Robinson. Yep. We could go on and on and on.
Imagine the lead up, right?
Exactly. There's so much there that you could dig into. And baseball's always better. There were years when the Yankees were down. Baseball's always better when the Yankees are good. They just are. Because people like to hate them, too.
Exactly.
So it's not just that the Yankees need to win all the time. It's that they're relevant and people can hate the Yankees. So I get that part as well. So I think that is the one. If baseball was sitting in the back room and said, what can we do to make this a great thing? Because it's been so long. I think the Yankees and Dodgers last met in the 80s in the World Series. So think about that. In the 80s, Chris.
Well, it would be like, remember when 2010 was it? Or was it 2008? No, 2010, I think. When the Celtics, with the big three, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, they met. No, it was 2008 because Kobe, the Lakers got there. You know, the Lakers right. with Kobe and Powell.
Sure.
Well, Powell wasn't there, but Andrew Bynum at that time. I remember they were showing the Bird Magic Finals.
Right.
All week as the lead up to, you know, that resurrecting series between those two great franchises. So I think it would be similar in baseball. I think we'd start seeing all the heroes that you mentioned, all the great teams, even at times when they met each other in the World Series.
But
you would see all of that leading up, which would be exciting.
No doubt about it. But I'll tell you, another one, and this is what baseball's been doing of late, Chris, when you think about it. Some leagues, you know, it's kind of the same suspects every year.
Right.
And baseball hasn't been that. And we can go back. The Kansas City Royals, when they won the World Series, they hadn't won in 30 years. Right?
Right.
When the Cubs won, they hadn't won in 108 years.
It was
108
that was
years.
Great.
Just think about that.
Yep.
And it
yep.
was. It was a tremendous. Remember Game 7?
Yep.
It was as good as it gets.
Some of look. The series have been phenomenal.
Right.
I mean, last year, what, we get five games?
Yeah, last year was probably the weakest one, the Dodgers.
But it was, some of those games were exciting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the games themselves.
Okay, I gave you those two, right?
Yeah. All right.
Then, the Astros had never won. And they won 2 years ago, Chris. So the other thing, when you talk about baseball parity and that, you don't have to be a big market to win, and giving other teams, fan bases, hope that they can win a championship is what has been taking place over the last 4 or 5 years in baseball. And so the other scenario, while the Dodgers are trying to get to the World Series 3 years in a row, and I'm going to tell you, Chris, I don't think they're going to get there. I think it's real hard to make it 3 years in a row. The last team
no
to
doubt.
Do it was the Yankees. And remember the difference between the Yankees when they did it in 98, 99, and 2000. They were winning World Series.
Right.
They weren't going.
Right.
They were winning.
Well, that's a good question. Does it make it harder?
You know what I mean?
When you've won it or when you've lost it?
I think it's harder to keep coming back when you haven't won it. I think when you win it, you have that confidence. For whatever reason, the Dodgers haven't won.
Or you could be complacent, yeah.
And the other one is, I think that an unbelievable story would be the Washington Nationals coming back from all the adversity. What a story, Chris. You lose your big guy. He doesn't want to be there. And your team, it looks like your team is falling off the cliff.
Right.
And they make an incredible comeback. They beat the story Dodgers. They get to the World Series. Say the Yankees are there. And they're able to shut down and beat the Yankees in an exciting series. I think that's another storyline that could capture America.
No, I can't, you know, disagree wholeheartedly with that, because you're right. And they do have some star power.
Yes.
You know, with Scherzer, who, as you said, has
Strasburg. They got
Strasburg. I mean, Strasburg, remember when he entered the league?
Yes.
People were thinking this guy could be one of the all-time greats.
No doubt.
And injuries kind of derailed him. But if he and Scherzer could have a special postseason, that would be huge. Because there's one thing. As you painted all, you know, pointed out all the factors, it's one thing to overcome all that, but it's another thing to do it and have some star power. If you got star power, it makes it even more exciting. And they do have that, particularly on their pitching staff. I'm still going to go with the Dodgers, but I'm not mad at you for the Nationals. But I just think, look, it's been 31 years. They do. We mentioned star power. They've got it in spades.
Oh, no
right?
doubt about it. If you got those guys, I mean, those sluggers.
Yeah.
And Bellinger. Kershaw's been
I mean, you talk about Scherzer
that's another
having his struggles in the playoffs. How about Kershaw? He's been even worse. And so I think the Dodgers winning it would be the best story. But certainly, I think people would get into the Nationals.
No, I agree.
In large part because of the Harper thing, too.
Because of the Harper thing, like, you know, feeling like he walked out on us and we still won. And,
yep.
they've been through it, Chris. They've been in the playoffs for years.
Doubt.
And they've had good teams, and everybody thought
they've been stacked.
Exactly. Everybody thought they were going to win for years, and they've never been able to do it. So it would be like a redemption story. What the ultimate story. You
right.
get jilted at the altar, and at the end, you still wind up getting your Prince Charming or whatever, and you wind up winning it all and moving into the castle and all that.
Don't forget this. It could really be the Cinderella if Anthony Rendon going to be a free agent. Could he leave him for the big money?
You see what they already offered him.
You see what they offered
him. They offered him $215 already. 7 years, $215. And that's without any other offers, Chris. You know, like nobody else can offer him yet. And
yeah, that's a nice offer.
That's a nice offer. Hard to walk away from $215 guaranteed on the table in front of you. But I don't know. I'll say this. I'd take my time and maybe take a few other offers. So
yeah, right. You got to. All right, let's throw it out to the callers. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. What do you think would be the best story as far as who gets to the World Series and who wins it ultimately for Major League Baseball and its popularity? Your turn to weigh in with Chris and Rob, the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
But now, Rob, this is going to be a fun segment. All you listeners, check this out. We're going to talk about a rap battle in the NBA. You got one generation, Shaquille O'Neal, long ago. Obviously, Shaq D's one of the best players of all time, four-time NBA champion, battling Damian Lillard, who goes by the name of Dame Dollar, the great point guard for the Portland Trailblazers. And Rob, let me set the tone. Here's what happened. We know Damian Lillard drops, you know, albums. I don't know how many now, three or four. He just dropped one about a month or two ago. And he gets love, like, not only from basketball fans, but MCs, real MCs. They know he's got skills. He's respected as a rapper, not just a basketball player who raps, but as a legitimate MC. And he was on the Joe Budden podcast recently. Joe Budden, of course, the famous hip hop MC from years ago. And Budden asked him if he was better than Shaq as a rapper.
And
Lillard said he was. He basically was like, look, Shaq was Shaq. So everybody loved him, of course, because he was big, goofy Shaq, and, you know, he's fun, and how can you not like Shaq?
What was Shaq on the Fooshnickens? You remember that?
He had a bunch of guests.
Right?
Fooshnickens, Def Jeff.
You didn't know
Feist
I knew that. I pulled that
Drive
out, Chris.
Quest.
You didn't know I knew that.
I know you
that.
Just Googled that, man.
I didn't Google it. Now, first of all, you can't Google something you can't spell, so Fooshnickens,
right.
I couldn't Google. Right? Give me that.
You're right. I'll give you. Because when Shaq was rapping around 93, 94, you were still in your heyday.
I was still out there. I was perusing
the clubs. Yeah,
right.
Dancing to Shaq.
Trying to trick some women to go home with me.
So anyway.
It didn't work that often, but I tried.
Hey. Anyway, after Dame says that, Shaq catches wind of it. And Shaq does a diss track on Dame Dollar. And here it is. Here's an excerpt from it.
Take your time to respond. There is no hurry. You'll never be Westbrook. Never be Steph Curry. Next time you see me, Damon, dress me as the emperor. Pull your little out. Check your little temperature. I like your little game. Yes, I really adore you. I'm smoking Portland weed.
They really good for you. You was a little dirty booty boy up in diapers. My garage was filled with Porsche, Benz, bikes, and Vipers. I was courtside watching Hulk and Roddy Piper. I was playing with D. Scott. He was the real sniper. I was in the studio with Nas, Big, and Jigga. I was even up and open, bumping Too Short. I was on time with your Panda E-40 from the same place as Red Man, Laura Hill, and Naughty.
Yo.
That's not bad. I like that.
Hey, Shaq came legit.
Wow.
He came, and he even hit him with some Oakland stuff, which is where Dame is from. Too Short, E-40. Shaq came correct. I'll give Shaq credit definitely on that. So, of course, Dame Dalla, who, remember, he battled with Marvin Bagley, the he's second-year player with the Sacramento Kings who likes to rap. And he's not bad, Marvin Bagley. So they had a battle. Everybody pretty much consensus that Dame took him out a few months ago. And so he wasn't going to take this line down. So, of course, today he dropped something he called Rain, Rain, Go Away. Rain, R-E-I-G-N. Rain, rain, go away. Here it is.
No, you see my pockets deep, so you flexing ain't really a thing, bro. We both could be working at Kinko's. And Kobe, when you them rings don't owe. Nursery rhymes spitting, small cars sitting, oh. Icy hot poster boy, TNT snitching you. Big man hating, mad at my existence. Had a song with Bad Boy. No Jordan to the Piston, still getting to the chicken. This ain't nothing new to me. I always been a chosen one. Nothing you could do with me. This what rich looked like. Before the dough and jewelry. I'm from where Tom Hanks from, but no time foolery. Do it for the fam. Ain't no magic, no Kazam. Ain't no flexing for the gram. I'm for real.
That's not bad either.
Dame is sweet. Dame
both
is...
Both were really good.
Yeah, both were good. And what do you think? What are your thoughts? I mean, you like... And this is different. Like, Bagley and Damian Lillard going at each other... You know, they're basically the same generation. I know Lillard's a veteran.
I was
going
to say, that was the one thing. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
It just seemed like, Shaq, dude, you're like older, retired. You're in a different place. Really? Do you know what I mean? Like, you're going down to the schoolyard to pick on the kids? I mean, take their lunch money.
There's a little of that.
Chris, when you were in school and they used to come take your lunch money to older kids and stuff? Do you remember that?
No, I don't. You know what I mean? I remember taking other kids' money.
Oh, okay.
Nah.
And you didn't step in? What kind of man are you? You're supposed to be a man of the cloth. You didn't intervene?
I wasn't a man of the cloth back then. I was like 7 years old, all right?
Man.
I was aspiring to be that. But now, I feel that way on both sides, Rob, because, okay, you can diss Shaq. Why are you going at the kids? You know, like you said, you're an older generation. Lillard even mentioned that in a part we didn't hear where he said, you know, we could have done something together. You could have handed the torch, but, you know, you're jealous or whatever. Lillard, though, you also can say, why are you going at the old man? You know what I mean? I guess he had to because Shaq really did diss him. But, you know, you look at the old guy going at the youngins and you got the youngins going at the old legend. So neither side can really brag about that. But I'll say this, and I really have a lot of respect, like a lot of people, for Dame as a rapper. And I do agree with him that he is a better MC in the technical sense than Shaq. Like, he's got better wordplay. You know, he's the dope. You know, wordsmith, puts his lyrics together, nice flow, all that. But as much as I liked his last album, Shaq, if you go back to when Shaq dropped those albums, Shaq's albums went platinum. Shaq made better songs because his production, his beats were better. His beats at that time were dope. He had some of the dopest beats out there, and that's a big part of why his songs went platinum. And he did collaborations. He had Keith Murray, who was hot back then, Fife Dawg, Def Jeff, Foo Schnickens, as you mentioned. Like, he did a lot of collaborations. He had a lot of guest rappers on his albums. And whoever, I can't even remember who was doing his production back then, but it was as hot as any production out there. And so, yeah, his wordplay wasn't... I'll compare it to this, Rob.
Okay.
It's like, you can't compare a 50 Cent to a Talib Kweli as far as just rapping ability, or a Nas. You know, they just, their wordplay was far superior. 50 Cent was a pretty basic rapper, but he made great songs. He get a hook that is catchy. His beats were crazy.
In the club. I was going to say, that's as important as anything, having that hook.
Yep.
That people just can't let go. And in the club, when it comes on, all the women jump up. And you know what I mean?
Yep. And if you go, I'm telling listeners, go to iTunes, because you've probably forgotten, and check out like Shaq's Best Of album. And listen, the beats, and he can rap. He was a good rapper. Again, not quite what Dame Lillard is, but a good rapper. But his beats were crazy back then. And so I think both of them got room to brag. Look, I think the good news is that I don't think either one of them is taking this too seriously.
No, like I'm glad
sure
about
when they
that.
See each other, it's going to be love. You know, they'll probably hug and laugh about it. And then go at it on track. It might not be over. Shaq may come back at him.
You think Shaq's going to make another one? I thought he's too busy making pizza and dough.
He might. I wouldn't be surprised. But it's all in fun. But yeah, that's kind of my breakdown of it. I think both of them have made their mark in hip hop in different ways.
Can I
for players?
Did you see what just happened?
No,
it's 2-0 Milwaukee. Oh. A walk and a home run, and the people in Washington are already stunned.
Wow!
Grandel? Grandel hit a 2-run home run. Grandel for the Brewers.
I'm on delay. I just saw it.
It was a walk on a 3-2 pitch that looked good.
Yep.
So he got on.
Barely got out of there, too.
Yep. And it just hit the fence.
But what did we say, Rob?
Yep. Oh, it went
Scherzer
over the fence.
Scherzer in the postseason. He's 4-5 in the postseason. Yeah. It's a 3-time Cy Young winner.
But it's early. I'm not going to panic. It's 2-0.
It's early. But, I mean,
but
today,
it's just off to the start.
Baseball,
I know.
You can catch that, but 2-0, man. That's a nice little lead.
Yeah, so there you go. Shot. Milwaukee just keeps doing it, Chris. I don't know. They lost their best player, and here they are in the playoffs already up.
Yep.
And
yep.
I'm telling you, the crowd in Washington is like, are you kidding me?
Oh, they of course they are.
So
wow.
Here we go.
All right. Well, let's see what you think about the rap battle. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. What do you think about Dame Dolla and Shaq Diesel going at it? Or if you want to go here, who do you think is the best rapping athlete of all time? Chris Webber dropped an album. Kobe dropped an album. Allen Iverson dropped some bars. You can actually hear it on YouTube. Several other guys out there rapped. So who do you think's been the best rapping athlete?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
All right, we are going to see. But let's go to basketball, which obviously is about to get underway, training camp starting up. And Rob, we have just exited what we would call the Big Three era, right? And where you had the Big Three in Boston with Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, they won a championship. Kobe got him a Big Three with Pau Gasol. And at that time, he fell off, but Andrew Bynum, and they were able to win. LeBron went and got himself a Big Three in Miami with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and himself, and they won two titles. Obviously, the Spurs were made up of a Big Three with Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker. And there was LeBron again in Cleveland, although they weren't the best Big Three. They did win a championship with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. And, of course, Golden State with initially Steph, Draymond, and Klay.
Then they had the Big Nine,
and then
right?
Then they had the Magnum Three of Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson. But all that's gone now. I mean, I guess you can say Golden State still got Draymond, Klay, and Steph. But thanks to Kawhi Leonard, who did not go to the Lakers and form another Big Three with LeBron and Anthony Davis, we got a ton of Big Twos. It kind of reminds me of back to the Jordan era when you had Big Twos or even a Big One here or there.
No, you're right. Where every team had two really good players, Chris. I mean, it used to be great. I loved it.
And to your point, this is the most wide open season for the NBA that we've had in years, where we don't
nobody knows who's going to be in the finals. No. Nobody.
And it's fun. And look, do I expect Utah or Denver to get to the NBA finals or Portland? No. But last year, Portland was in the conference finals, and they improved over the summer. They
and
got
don't forget, Denver was a game away from getting to the conference finals.
Yep. So, and they were young. I mean, yes. You know that experience helped them out. Utah got better. They added they added over the offseason? Mike Conley.
Mike Conley. They needed
to
guard.
With Donovan Mitchell. That's a great backcourt. You still got Rudy Gobert. And then, obviously, the Lakers. I'm not writing off the Warriors who – even though he's certainly no Kevin Durant, but D'Angelo Russell's a very good player. They added Willie Cauley-Stein, who I think will be good when he gets healthy in that system. Then you got the Clippers, of course. So the West is just full of great teams. And then in the East, Philadelphia and Milwaukee, I think, are the creme de la creme. But I think Boston is not going to be a team you can toy with. And, of course, Brooklyn, when Kevin Durant gets healthy, they're going to be a monster.
Right,
so,
and they'll be they still will be good this year.
Still going to make the playoffs.
They made the playoffs last year without, right? They got they got Jordan and they got
Kyrie.
And Kyrie right.
DeAndre Jordan.
So they made it without
him. And I think Toronto's going to still be pretty good. Not a championship team.
Right, but they'll be good. They're not going away.
No, they're
going
to be legit. So it's awesome. It's wide open. And it's the Big Two era. And it's a, you know, we're going to throw it out there. Who do you think is the best big two in the league? Paul George is talking loud and saying something because he thinks he's a part of that big two. Let's hear what he said.
I think so. When you look at two guys that play both ends, two guys that can go and get a basket, and two guys that can stop you from getting a basket, elite on both ends, I don't see how you can beat that.
So he thinks, Paul George thinks he and Kawhi Leonard are the best big two in the league.
I think that's real talk.
Agreement?
I think that's real talk there. And what he's saying, Chris, and his point is well taken, that they do play both ends of the floor, and you don't have that much. As great as LeBron, as we know last year, and what, year 17, Chris?
Yep.
You're not playing defense all the time, right?
Yep.
Right, this is year 17 coming up.
He certainly didn't play it last year.
Right, so maybe he changes this year, maybe it's different, but we didn't see it all. And a lot of guys don't play it all the time. Harden, right? Does he play it?
He tries.
Okay. So my
he
point
led the league in deflections, I think, last year.
That was
he tried.
That was because the ball hit his beard. That had nothing to do with him putting his hand out.
Oh, no Kawhi.
What?
No nothing.
Oh.
No rim shot.
Thank
well,
you.
Here's the big twos out there, Rob. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, of course. LeBron James and Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Yeah, I mean, they're not ready yet, but Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. Again, Klay Thompson's out until the All-Star break at least, but you got Steph and Klay. You got Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And you got Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Those are the top big twos in the league right now. And while I hear what you're saying about Paul and Kawhi, I think the best big two is still connected to LeBron James. I do. And I've got the Clippers as the preseason favorite. So I'm not saying this means the Lakers are the better team, because I think outside of Kawhi and Paul George, the Clippers have a lot, including a great coach in Doc Rivers. But LeBron and Anthony Davis, I still think, are the best duo in the league. Obviously, AD can do it all defensively, and he's exceptional offensively. LeBron, you're right, last year the defense was piss poor, but he got more rest than he's had since his second year in the league this summer.
Yeah, but the rest
no
is
Olympics.
Good, but he's old. He's still old.
He's only 35, but basketball years he's old.
That's
you're right.
What
he's
I mean.
Got a lot of basketball mileage on him.
That's all.
But you know he's going to put up the numbers offensively. And it's interesting what he said recently, that we're going to run the offense through AD. If not, then why have him, right? To me, look,
you believe
I've been
that, Chris?
Saying it.
Do you
well,
believe it?
This is what I believe, Rob. And they were saying this when they were recruiting Kawhi Leonard. They were telling him LeBron's going to play the point. So Kawhi, you and AD are going to be the number one and number two options offensively. What I believe is that LeBron James should still play the point. Because if he doesn't play the point, to your point, Rob, the offense is not going to run through AD.
Right.
If he's not playing the point, it's going to run through LeBron. Because LeBron, for all his greatness, doesn't know how to play without the ball.
And
not unlike a lot of these great ball-dominant players.
That's what you have nowadays, and you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Right.
That's what he feels comfortable with. Right. That's what he's
done. Playing that way his entire life. So put him at the point. Heck, he's going to play point 60% of the time anyway. So put him at the point guard permanently. I think their starting five should be, when Kuzma's back, LeBron, either Danny Green or Avery Bradley at the two, whichever one is playing better. Because they're both, you know, up and down, and we don't know quite where they are now. Then you got Kuzma, Anthony Davis, and I guess JaVale McGee in the middle.
He's your starting center?
Yeah. Unless Dwight, you know, shows something.
Okay.
But I can live with JaVale McGee as the starting center. And Dwight spelling him. So I think that's your optimum lineup. And I think LeBron can be fabulous. We know it at the point. I mean, I'd love to see LeBron average 23 and 10 or 11 dimes, 8 rebounds, and let AD be the leading scorer. You know the last time LeBron James wasn't the leading scorer on his team? He was a freshman in high school.
Wow.
That was it.
And
it was Maverick Carter was the leading scorer.
I can't see that changing.
Who, me?
Really?
Well, I mean,
I think for the betterment, you think, the best you think, thing for the Lakers think, is it does change.
You think AD's going to be the leading scorer?
I think it should be that
Do
way.
Do you think it will be? Is my question to you. Honestly, Chris, you're telling me LeBron James is going to take his foot off the gas?
I'm going to say yes.
Wow.
I'm going to say yes.
Wow.
I mean, if you're running the offense through AD and LeBron is playing point, which we'll see if he does, I think it should be. Now, it might be close. It might be 28 and 27. Or maybe LeBron is slightly ahead, but I'm going to say it's AD. I'm going to say it's AD. But I think that would be best for the Lakers because they need a smart playmaker, and we know LeBron is that. And if you put him at the point, you can have more shooters on the floor. You know, that lineup I mentioned, Kuzma, Danny Green, they can shoot it fairly well. And then LeBron's okay from that, from three. So I think that's the best duo, Rob, though. You got the guys on the other side of the hall, really.
Right. I just like George and Leonard from the standpoint of what they bring to the table defensively. Because if you look at that team, they got the best defensive team in the league. You agree with me on that, right?
Yeah, that's the best defensive team we've probably seen in a while.
Absolutely. And you know, given the coach and given what that team already and the building blocks and the foundation, Chris, they already had success without those guys.
Right.
I'm not saying they won anything. They lost in the first round, but they won two road playoff games in Oakland with a healthy KD.
Yep.
They didn't beat him when KD was down. He played.
Yep.
And now you're adding two guys, one with championship pedigree, who's won two championships in two different places and two finals MVPs. How could you not feel good about where you are and what can be accomplished? And then Paul George, who was playing at an MVP clip before he got hurt last year.
Yeah, I think the best thing, too, or one of the good things, is that they can fit into a system.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be a hard adjustment for those two to play together.
I agree with you.
You know, whereas with LeBron, that's why LeBron and AD, it's going to be an adjustment period. If LeBron indeed lets the offense run through AD, then he's going to have to adjust. And, of course, you're going to have to adjust with playing with LeBron like AD will. So that's our take. What do you think? Who is the best duo in the NBA? Is it Kawhi and Paul George or LeBron and AD or somebody else you think? The guys in Houston. Maybe Steph and Klay still. KD and Kyrie. What's your take? 877-99 on Fox. It's the Odd Couple. Chris and Rob, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.